Chapter 13, An Awful Lot of Bees. It took a while, and another 1.5 of potatoes, for Dev and Ventilla to find their way back towards the lights in Middle Eden. Dev bid his grandmother goodnight and at the turn of the road and headed off home, his mind full of phlebothist-filled memories. Phlebothist-lit memories, even. His heart singing, happier now than it had been all day. As soon as his house was in sight, the front door crashed open and his mother came running out and hugged him tightly. Then they walked together into the warmth of the living room. Dev sat at the table while his mother took the whistling kettle from the stove and poured it into two misshapen mugs. Santoro said you ran off. He's still out looking for you. I was with Nonna. Dev grabbed a mug with both hands and sipped it. Heat flushed down his throat. He considered telling his mother all about the Phlebothis cave, how beautiful it was in there, how magical. But as he looked into her eyes, he realised she wasn't in the mood to hear such things. Sorry, Dev mumbled. I didn't mean to worry anyone. She turned back to her stove. Percy came round too. He, furious he was, said you brought Mina into our house. Something about breaking her teddy bear. For a brief second, the memory of Boja Bear's screams rang in Dev's ears again. He shuddered. From what I gather, it's only Santoro who stopped Percy dragging you back in front of the mayor. Maybe you should be thanking him for that. She put a plate of fried duck eggs down and toast down in front of him, and at which his stomach growled angrily. Alongside it, she slid Dev's jar, holding Limpy the Flemberbug. He was sound asleep, his furry little body heaving up and down with each breath. Dev smiled affectionately before chomping into a mouthful of egg. You're trying your best to make things right. I know that. Watching as he wolfed down great forkfuls of food. But this is a quiet village, Dev. People don't want any fuss, and they don't want drama. They just want to feel safe. 12-year-old boys wearing wings, flying around, spraying cheese, building robots. They don't want all the dink. They both heard the noise. Dink, dink. Dev looked up the network of pipes above his head as something dink, dink, dinked along inside them. Pipe B52, he yelled, leaping up from... Pipe B52, he yelled, leaping up from his chair. Dink, dink, dink. To the left. To the right, dink, from one pipe to the other, and then back down again, dink, dink, down the wall into the oven, out through its oven door. A single bee bzzzed right into Dev's cupped hands, tickling his palms as it bobbed around. He walked briskly over to the iron furnace against the wall, kicked open its door, and carefully spooned his hands inside. Dev, those bees, his mother growled with exasperation. That's the word. They're always escaping. Bee power is the future. Dev watched as his bee buzzed around inside, then became lost amongst all the other bees. Even a small hive like this gives off way more energy than the old generators. He stood up, proudly folding his arms. One day, everyone will want bees in their house. There are bees in this house, his mother screamed. Dev had left the door open, and bees were swarming out into the kitchen, billowing like a storm cloud. In case you didn't know, in the Phoenix comic, they did a sort of prologue to Flemba. It was a comic, and in that, he invented a system for heating the stoves and everything. It was bees that generate heat. So just in case you didn't know, I was putting that out there. You may have known that already. And anyone who doesn't read the Phoenix should definitely do so. Dev left the door open, and bees were swarming out into the kitchen, billowing like a storm cloud. It took an hour, some saucepans, a curtain, and a number of empty jam jars to get all the bees back inside. Dev apologised again and then again, but his mother was having none of it. Just stop, Dev, She lifted off her helmet and slumped down into her chair, into a chair. Maybe everyone's right. Maybe they're all right. I know you're trying to help, but it always just makes things worse. A chill ran down Dev's bones. Just go to bed. She sighed, burying her head into her hands. Please. He wasn't sure what to do for a moment. Then he gently slid the stray chairs back under the table, picked up Limpy's jar, and made his way towards the back of the house and closed his workshop door very, very slowly, taking just long enough to see his mother stare up at the picture frame, the one with the painting of her and her father in it, and he thought he saw a tear roll down her cheek. The door latch closed with a clunk. Dev's workshop was dark and cold, as if it had been abandoned. It felt unwelcome now. It felt wrong. Apart from the moonlight shining in through the balcony windows, the only other light was the faint glow beneath a pile of engine parts from the book with the golden F on its cover. But where this book had once sent a thrill through Dev's chest, now he only remembered Mina crying, Percy furiously trying to get at him, Santoro in the doorway, smug and bullish as ever. He stared down at his makeshift flembered transference device, at the phlembathist, split into tiny fragments. The white drop flower wilted, its once pillowy petals now grey and brittle. He carefully picked it up. I'm so sorry, he whispered. I took all your phlember away for nothing, and I don't know how to put it back. He closed his eye and said a jocunda prayer in thanks for the flower's life. Jocunda joke giganti sep. I think that's how it's pronounced. Jocunda sep. He carefully placed it back on the bench and climbed onto his unmade bed, placing Limpy's jar beside him. I'll let you out tomorrow, Dev whispered, and then you can fly wherever you like. A sad, weak smile crept into a corner of his mouth. Wouldn't that be nice? His eyes closed, and he too drifted off into sleep. And that's the end of the episode. See you in the next episode. Please send a voice message, please. Really? One little?